When you get saved, there's a tremendous joy to know your Savior. But I tell you what, there's some tears that you're going to drop too. Because when you start taking on and caring about others and really seeing what it's all about, you see that you're on a battlefield and you see your brothers and sisters being torn apart and ravished by Satan. You see the wandering hearts and the hurt. You're going to shed some tears. I wouldn't care myself if I never had another day of joy the rest of my life. It makes no difference to me. Do you know that? It makes not a bit of difference to me if I'm happy or sad. I've experienced a lot of happiness the last 15 years that I've been saved. It's been heaven compared to what I had before. That was like hell. But let me tell you something. I'm not saved to be happy. I got eternity to be happy. I'm not saved so I can be well. I'm not saved so everything can go right in my family. I'm not saved for any of those reasons. My Savior loved me so much He died for me, and I've accepted that gift of salvation, and I have become a soldier, and I'm out to touch lives for eternity. Amen? Is that what your life is about? If I'm happy, great. I'd rather be happy than sad, but when it comes right down to it, I don't care which way as long as I get the job done. When I'm finished, I don't care if I've been blown apart by spiritual grenades, if I've been my body and spirit has been riddled by spiritual bullets, I don't care if I have the scars of stress on my face, if my hair drops all out and turns gray or purple or blue. It doesn't make much difference. I just want to do what God created me to do. Amen? Whatever the cost may be. Amen? Hopefully there'll be some good times along the way. So far there has been. But times are going to get rougher and rougher, man. It's not going to be so cool. And only those who are really sincere will stay in the army. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to mutiny. A lot of people that's going to say, I thought Santa Claus was going to give me gifts when I got saved. I thought my sugar daddy was going to take care of me. And some of you are saying, what are you talking about? I use a lot of examples like that, okay? Sometimes you think that Christ is a Santa Claus. Come on, ho, 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 come and get saved. I got some gifts for you. Sugar daddy. You know what a sugar daddy is? Hey, daddy. I serve you. If you just fill my pockets with gold. Someone thinks, daddy, you know, God's a sugar daddy. And then we get mad because He doesn't do what we ask. What a simplistic way of looking at things, don't you? Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask to live this life on out? A few years we got left. I don't know how many years I got left. But let's live every moment of it. Stop with this stupidity that's been going on for centuries. It doesn't have to go on for centuries more. If God can just find a faithful people will do what He's called them to do, if they'll be able to sacrifice the simple little niceties of life. People get wrapped up in relationships. They get wrapped up in jobs. They get wrapped up in college. They get wrapped up in family. They get wrapped up in money. They get wrapped up in suits. They get wrapped up in self-pity. They get wrapped up in, woe is me, I fall down so much. Big deal when you're down, do something. Amen? I'm depressed. Big deal. I don't care if I'm depressed or not. If I'm depressed, I'm going to do something I'm depressed. Just because you're depressed means you can't do something. Yeah, but I got a headache. What big deal? It can't last for eternity. Amen? God has called His people to put a stop to the works of Satan. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is hurt and anguish upon all of God's creation. And He says He has given us that ministry of reconciliation. We are His soldiers. We are His hands outstretched. And I don't care if anyone loves me or don't love me. It doesn't make a bit of difference. When I say that, of course it hurts. But I mean in the final analysis, it doesn't matter. If my loved ones die, I'll meet them in heaven. Amen? If I die, you'll meet me there. But let's live every breath for Jesus Christ. Let's touch this world. Let's do something. This world has not seen Christianity in this real Christianity in this century. As far as I know, we've seen a little bit of it. We haven't even seen it here. This is not Christianity. Look at each other real quick. Do that. Look at each other. I want you to know you're not looking at Christianity in its finest hour. Look at me. I brushed my teeth with Pepsi this morning. I got a suit on. I got a tie. But I want you to look at me. I'm not the peak example of Christianity. I'm still in the process. But God wants to manifest his life to the world. And we're in a process. He wants to show people what it's like to see the light of Jesus shining through lives. Amen? Praise God. I didn't mean to get into all this. I still got another sermon to preach. Lord, I know in myself that I'm nothing but a sinner. I'm nothing that can be used to really accomplish the eternal work that you've called. But Lord, I pray that you cleanse this vessel, that you'll use me as a vessel, Lord. If you use the donkey, you can use me. And Lord, I pray that you'll answer every prayer that's being uttered right now, that your children will be fed and that you'll be the teacher. And I commit this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I just pray that God will allow me to give this as he gave it to me, because it broke my heart as he gave it to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 22:47. Hallelujah, Father. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This has got to be the saddest thing ever written in the scriptures. God showed me years ago the reality of that. We look at Judas as a bad guy all along, and God, Jesus, when he pointed Judas out, he knew that he was going to be the one to betray him. And of course, God knew, you know, but remember, Jesus emptied himself of that, and he only knew what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. But you know, and we look at Judas, and remember, was close to Christ, and he was just a bad guy that stuck him in the back. But I want you to capture the reality of what happened here and apply it to our lives now. Judas was called along with the other 12. He was not someone that never was close to Christ. He was someone that was very close to Christ. One of the Gospels even mentioned, points out him being one of the 12. Judas was anointed with the other 12 to go out and heal the sick. So when the Bible says the 12 were anointed, they went out to heal the sick. Let me tell you something. Judas had to be close to Christ to be able to receive that power to heal. God would not anoint a devil to go out and heal the sick. He was out there ministering to the poor just like the other 11 were. He sat with Christ and shared with Christ, and he felt with Christ, and he cried with Christ, and he was there throughout that experience. Those 3 years, Judas was there. And I believe Christ loved Judas just like he loved the other disciples. But Judas let things distract him. You got to read it real carefully to capture all this, but I can guarantee it's all there. Judas allowed himself to be distracted from his first love. And it wasn't all bad thoughts that Judas had. It wasn't that his mind was totally corrupted. But he was distracted from the reality of Christ. The very fact that Judas was so sad, so depressed, when he finally saw what he had done and he hung himself, proves that Judas was not a totally 100% corrupted individual. I believe that he loved Christ with all his heart. And I believe Christ loved Judas with all of his heart. And I believe that when Judas betrayed Christ, that Christ's heart was broken. I can feel what Christ felt here. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? So many times with words on a piece of paper, we cannot feel what's taking place here. You gotta let God open these scriptures up. These scriptures are rich. They're alive. I believe that when he looked at Judas, he was broken. Judas, you are betraying me with a kiss, with an expression that should be of love. I think there's something very important to capture here. And I believe his heart was broken that Judas had betrayed him. There's many types of hurt in this life. Someone can curse me out. Enemies can gossip about me, and that hurts. They can say things about you and I that would cut us right down to the very soul. People can doubt us. They can shoot us. They can. There's a lot of different kinds of hurts. There's physical pain. There's mental anguish, emotional anguish. But I truly believe one of the greatest pains that could ever strike a person's heart and soul is to have someone to betray them. Because, see, an enemy cannot betray you. There is no way that an enemy can betray you. You can only be betrayed by the one that's a friend. Someone that you love. Someone that you trust. Someone that you believe in is the only one that can break your heart. The only one that can betray you. Amen? It's got to be the greatest hurt, the deepest pain. You know, I think of a husband and wife. I have counseled with husbands and wives, and I've seen unfaithfulness in a marriage. I experienced that in my previous marriage, when my wife time and time again would betray me, and I was young and hurt. I wanted to die. I did not want to live because it hurt so deeply. I never thought I'd ever get over that hurt. And I think we can identify with the hurt that a spouse gives you when they betray you. And I can remember the hurt my dad had when I was ashamed of him because of his problem. There's different ways you can betray a person, isn't there? I can remember the hurt that I had when I felt like my family didn't believe in me. It was a deep hurt. Betraying has got to be the worst ever. Luke 21:16 says that in the last days, the parents, kinsfolk, and friends will betray each other. And it will cause some to be put to death. That the loved ones will betray loved ones, and it will cause them to stumble and fall and to be hurt. And in some cases, even put to death because the loved ones have betrayed them. God needs a people that will be loyal. God needs a people that will not betray him and betray each other. Many types of betrayal. Some are not so obvious. Take a wife. I remember one time I was cut to the core. I was sitting at the fair, and there was a singer in town. The guy with the beard and the white hair, what's his name? Kenny Rogers, yeah. Kenny Rogers is in town. And I was sitting with my wife, my ex-wife. And this was right in the very beginning before she ever had anything happen. And I caught her eye. Look at him. Just 1 second, a look in her eye that cut me to the core. Because, see, I didn't realize that there was anything wrong. You see, I thought everything was okay. I just captured it. I'll never forget that look in her eyes. It only lasted a couple seconds. But I felt like I was betrayed just with a look in an eye. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many's ever felt that way? How many's ever seen something like that? It doesn't have to be something real obvious. It can be something in an attitude. It can be something in a glimpse of an eye. I'm just using examples so you can relate to it, because we're going to relate this all back to Christ. Or if you're ashamed of someone. I wish that I would have never been ashamed of my father. I tell you what, it still hurts me sometimes when I'm laying there in bed at night and I remember that I was ashamed of my father at one time. I feel like I betrayed him because I should have said, hey, this is my dad. If you don't like him, you don't like me. He can't be my friend and be my dad's enemy. That's the kind of loyalty I wished I would have had. But see, I was ashamed. All my friends were laughing at my dad because he was on a bucket preaching to the little kids in grade school when I was in grade school because of his emotional problem. I wished I would have stood up there next to my dad and said, hey, man, he's a preacher, man. But he only did this when he was having mental problems. I wish I said, hey, he's my dad. Come on, Dad. Let's go get an ice cream cone together. I'll be with you. But when I walked into McDonald's with him, and I did spend time with him, I always felt a little bit ashamed because he was laughing loud and making sounds and motions. And I felt ashamed because everybody was looking at us. And that's sad. And when my stepfather used to take me to school in the trash truck, because my stepdad worked night and day, and as far as I'm concerned, he's my real dad. Night and day he worked to support us seven kids. Yet I had the kind of heart that I tell my dad, Dad, don't drop me off in front of the school. You drop me off a block from school. How could I have done that to my dad? When he didn't like hauling trash. He had to drive around in that thing. But I was so cool with my friends, I was afraid they'd laugh at him. Well, when my sister, Charlotte, would walk in, she had a kind, compassionate heart for people who had IQ problems. You know, we call them mental retarded. And she loved them. She had compassion. And first year in high school, she had, you know, all these specially handicapped people walked in. And I was sitting there on the furnace. I'll never forget this moment. And all my friends were making fun of these people that were specially handicapped. And there comes my sister walking right with them. I don't remember exactly what I said or done, but I do remember this. I didn't stand up for her. I didn't say, hey, that's my sister walking there. Because back in those days, I did a lot of fighting, and I would have said, hey, guy, you knock that off your face, or I'm going to knock it off for you. I didn't do that. I betrayed her because I was ashamed of her. I believe that I betrayed my mother when I was a teenager. Because I was not the kind of young man she'd be proud of. My mother spent all her life bringing me up and my father praying and teaching me. But I got into teenage years and I rebelled. I did not project the kind of image that would honor my parents. People think poorly of parents who kids run out and do wrong. Do you know that? When you children act up, people say that's the way they probably was brought up. When I remember when the teacher first came to me and told me my son had cursed in the kindergarten, first grade. And she indicated to me, it was in a Christian school, she indicated to me that I was not training my child right. Because he's cursing, he must be picking up at home. That hurt deeply. You understand what I'm talking about betrayal? There's many kinds of betrayal. When you do not project an image that should be projected from the people who have labored in your life, you betray them. What about Jesus Christ? Are we betraying Jesus Christ in the way that we live? Are we projecting an image to the world that they can say, yeah, Christ must be great because I can see that his children's great? Or does the world mock Christianity in this hour? Are the papers filled with junk about Christians? Are there jokes in the bar rooms about Christ? Because because of the way that Christians live. Christianity is a big joke in this century. It's a joke. Sodom and Gomorrah don't have anything over the United States in this world this hour. We're a joke. What's bad about it? It's not the sinners living like that. It's the Christians living like that. Sad. It's very sad. I believe that every time we project the wrong image, we betray Christ. How about you? Because they don't know my Father, because they don't know me. Right. All right, I projected that image. I believe every time that I consider sin in my mind, that I shame my Father. I shame my Savior. Because you see, our minds are an open book before the heavens. Our lives are. We are encompassed about, it says, by a great cloud of witnesses. I'm not talking about witnesses down here. A cloud is over you. God would not have used that comparison. He was talking about witnesses here. The whole universe is looking at mankind and God's ultimate creation. And when I flirt with sin, I have flirted against my spouse. I have been a spouse to Christ. Has my ex-wife flirted with Mr. Kenny Rogers with her eyes and it broke my heart? How much more do I break the heart of Christ when I, in my secret of my life, I flirt and consider sin? You may not know about it, but let me tell you something. The devil knows. The demons know. The angels know. The creations of heaven know. Because we're an open book. It says the angels even look into these things. My Savior knows, and I do not want even to have a glimpse of betrayal in my eye, in my life. Against my Savior. There is no one or nothing in this world that's pretty enough, tempting enough, rewarding enough that caused me to betray the one who died for me. If I'm alone in my bedroom, I do not want to betray my Christ. I don't want to pull from underneath my bed a Playboy magazine. If I'm alone in another city and there's some young lady there that's beautiful and tempting, I do not even want to look upon her body in a way that would betray my Savior. I don't care if you're not there. Because you see, I can be off somewhere, my congregation's not there, and I could let my hair down a little bit. And I could look at a girl up and down and really think, wow, man. And no one would ever know. You wouldn't know, would you? But my Christ would know, and he would be hurt. He'd be ashamed. He'd be hurt because I betrayed him like a Judas. I don't want to lose my temper and make a fool out of Christ. I don't want to have words come from my mouth that would bring shame to my Savior. I do not want to live in such a way that my Father would be ashamed that he ever, created me. People look at me and think my Christ is not okay. They don't believe in him. I don't want to do that, do you? I don't want to willfully sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 25 and around verse 29 that if you sin willfully, on purpose, you willfully sin after you receive the knowledge of the truth. He's talking about saved people here because it says they've been sanctified. If you willfully sin, he says there's no more sacrifice for your sin. Because you've taken the blood of Christ and you've trod it underneath your feet. And you've counted that as an unholy thing in spite of the Spirit of grace. Hope you guys are laughing about something that, it's important up here. Because that right there is betraying Christ. If you're sitting there having fun, writing notes to Joseph from so-and-so. Okay, and I think that's nice that he'd write you a note because, it's neat. Thank you. I'm glad you care about him, Justin. But if you're sitting there and God is actually speaking up here, now, I'm no big deal. Mike Akins is no big deal. And I don't mind you not listening to me because a lot of the stuff that comes out of my mouth is hot air. But if Christ is really speaking right now and you're doing something else, We don't know how he feels. You're saying that what Christ is saying is not important to you. That's what you're showing this guy right here. Now, he's a new guy here. I wouldn't even think about thinking something bad about you because you haven't been doing this teaching for 2 or 3 years. But what you're saying to him and to Laura right there and runs around you, that what is being said right now isn't all that important. And if these are actually the words from Christ, then that means the words that Christ is saying is not so important. Amen? Thank you for being an example this morning. I used you a couple weeks ago. I got a chance to use you again. That's a good example, though. People will know Christ by knowing me. Or they'll know the wrong things about Christ by knowing me. Amen? My loyalty is the most precious thing I can offer Christ as a living sacrifice. Because, see, if I'm loyal to Christ, they think he's valuable. The people who have died as martyrs have glorified Christ because they say, I will not betray him although you slay me. Amen? You can burn me to the stake. You can crucify me. I will not betray that invisible Christ. And people look upon Christians and say, God, there must be a real God in heaven. The Roman soldiers looked at Christ and said, there must be. He must be who he said he was. Because they saw the extreme loyalty. When my wife betrayed me, she was letting the world know that Mike Akins is not a cool guy. He's not worth it. He's not so cool, husband. That's what they're saying. If you betray your parents, you're telling the world, my parents aren't so important. They're not valuable to me, or I wouldn't betray them. If you betray each other, you're telling people something about the person you're betraying. Do you understand that? If you betray your pastor, you're saying the pastor's not all that cool. He's no big deal. He can't capture my, emotions. He can't capture my thoughts. He can't capture my life. He's nothing. And that's what we say to Christ, and he's the only one that really counts. If we don't live like we should live, if we betray Christ, we're saying Christ isn't all that good. He isn't good enough to capture my life and my loyalty. I hope that you're receiving this. The greatest thing that you can offer a loved one is your total loyalty. Amen? Your total loyalty. The greatest thing that we can offer Christ is say, I am loyal to him. He is so wonderful. My Savior is so important to me that you won't catch me betraying him. If you betray Christ, you're telling the world just what kind of Christ you serve. He's not worth it. He's not able to keep you. You understand that? Same thing with leaders, same thing with the church. If you go away and betray the church, you're betraying Christ's church. You're saying it's not that big a deal. We should be protective. Loyalty will bring protection. Amen? Loyalty is one of the most precious things that God has ever been offered up on the altars of sacrifice. In the Bible, it's mentioned of Moses as being faithful. And it says in Hebrews 3:5 that Moses was faithful for a testimony. He was faithful in all his house for a testimony. Who was Moses testifying of? A person that goes to testify in a court is testifying for someone, right? Moses was not testifying for Moses. Moses was not testifying for Moses. Moses was testifying for the Lord. And it says he was faithful for a testimony. Because he was testifying for Christ. Testifying for God. Are you testifying for Christ? Is your life a testimony that Christ is great? Are you testifying for this church? For each other? Now, not for personally, but in Christ? Are you protective? Do you stand up clearly for what you believe in? 1 Samuel 22:14, it says David was a faithful person. And he became a man after God's own heart. He was faithful. Amen. Most of his life. Truly, betrayal must be the greatest hurt. And if we can hurt because of it, how much more can Christ hurt? Because he has such a greater capacity to feel than we've ever imagined. the deepest hurt we've ever felt cannot compare to what Christ can feel. Amen? But on the other hand, loyalty can be the greatest compliment to the one that you love. I would rather have 10 people in this church that was loyal than 20,000. We don't have a big church because I don't preach in such a way that keeps a big church. You know that? I say it like it is. I don't hesitate. I feel like I do it in love. It's like with Joseph here. I feel like Joseph knows I love him. I don't think he feels bad towards me for what I said, do you, Joseph? I think it brought conviction in your heart, and I've noticed your eyes are different. You seem very dedicated. Is that true? It brings about commitment. We're not out to save the world because some will not be saved. We're only out to find the ones that have the kind of heart that will respond to the truth. There's people coming to this church that will not stay because the truth will come forth and they will run from it. Others will let it melt their hearts. Amen? But I would rather have a small army of dedicated followers of Christ than all the biggest churches in the world. Amen? And I'm going to preach it and preach it and preach it and keep pruning and pruning and pruning until all I've got left here is the ones that truly care. And then God can bring more in if he wants to. It's up to him. He builds the church. Our lives are the testimony he can use. Committed person, are you going to express the life of Christ? Is the world going to look at you and think there must be a God because of the way you live? So what's going to happen? Are they going to look at, and this is communicated down right on through the church. Are they going to look at you and say, that church down there must be doing something right because of the way you live? Are they going to say, I can't believe all those things they say about your pastor because you're the kind of person that wouldn't be there if he was as bad as they say? You see? All the way through, we live it in loyalty to Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise you, Father. How many want to be loyal? Amen. How many still feel like you might have a challenge that you emotionally feel committed, but you fear that you might fall short of it? I do. What can we do? What can we do that will say we will not betray each other and betray Christ? Number one, we can watch the seeds that you plant in your heart. Watch the seeds that you plant in your mind. You cannot totally control what you are. Did you know that? You cannot feed the wrong things into your mind and believe that you're going to stay loyal to Christ. You cannot, as a spouse, tempt your mind outside your marriage over and over again and read filthy things and dwell upon the mind about your neighbor's wife. You cannot continuously feed things. You cannot take yourself into a position that you expose yourself over and over again to believe that somehow you're going to keep loyal right to the last moment. You're going to make a mistake if you feed it into your mind. Feed it into your thoughts. Confess it with your mouth. You need to protect your mind, but you allow it to dwell there because it goes into your memory banks and it comes back to haunt you later. So if you want to be loyal to Christ, don't expose yourself to his enemy over and over again, needlessly. You want to be loyal to your husband or your wife? Don't expose yourself over and over again to the Satan's tricks and deception. You want to be loyal to your leader? Don't expose yourself. You see? Because if you feed your mind, you'll fail if you feed it wrong. Number two, it's a daily experience of keeping your mind clear, steadfast on Christ the person. The woman would not have betrayed her husband if she would have kept her husband in her mind. If each day she would have been thankful for that husband and kept her mind clear and steadfastly committed to her spouse, she would not have betrayed him. It's when we let our mind go and get caught up in the deceptions and the hurts of life that finally it comes in and we betray the one that we love. Keep your mind clear. Keep it committed. Keep your mind stayed upon, this is the last point, keep your mind stayed upon the purpose of whatever you're involved in. You don't want to betray Christ, then you need to keep your mind clear on why you are alive today. Why you are alive today. What are you here for? Keep your mind clear on that. Stay upon your purpose, and it won't be drawn away through self. And you will not end up betraying the one that you love. Why? What's the purpose? The purpose is not how you feel. The purpose is not what Christ can do for us in this life. Because if you get your eyes on what Christ can do on you, you get disappointed in Christ and you betray Christ. You see, you got a purpose in your marriage, you got a purpose in your church, you got a purpose in your relationship, you got a purpose in Christ. If it's in your marriage, keep, what is the purpose? What is your purpose in that marriage? Is it a self thing? My husband, you're going to take care of me and do all these nice things for me and make me feel good every day? Is that your purpose? Or do you have another purpose in that marriage? Get your purpose clear in mind and you will not stray. Because self is right there and the devil uses self to cause you to betray the most important things in your life. What God is looking for is loyal people. He's looking for people who are faithful. Faithful in the way they live, the way they think. And if they make a mistake, they recognize it and they deal with it and they get back up and go on. Amen? He's looking for people who will be faithful to the leaders that they have, faithful to their husbands and wives and children and parents, faithful to the church. Because you can't be unfaithful in one area and faithful in others. You've got to decide what you're supposed to be faithful to. But whatever you decide you're faithful to, whatever you decide to be loyal to, if it's someone else, somebody else, some other church, some other leader, some other Christian, some other lover, some other God, do yourself a favor. Be loyal. Be faithful. Amen? Hopefully to the right things. Praise God. I just pray that God will plant this seed deep within your hearts. I hope that I didn't draw it out so long that you lost it. That can happen. God laid this in my heart in such a precious way. It's broken me. I did not want in one way to break my Savior's heart. I don't want to be unfaithful, unloyal. I want to be dedicated to the day I die. Amen. I don't care what state of mind I'm in. I don't care if I'm depressed. I don't care if I'm happy, sad, miserable, painful. I don't care if I'm on my deathbed. I don't care if I got riches. I don't care who comes along to distract me. I don't care anything. I just want to be loyal in all that I do. How about you? And that's the kind of people God's going to use. Praise the Lord.